what was the inspiration for your podcast?
Tom, first off, thanks for having me. Great to be chatting with you. You know, so I ran for state senate in 2016, and it was such a great experience meeting a lot of people. And I found that the misconceptions I had about politics were that, you know, it was something just for the anointed. It was just for the high and mighty. And from, you know, meeting elected officials during the course of the campaign and my time as a police officer, I saw that they're just human beings like us at the end of the day. And I also saw that there's a major need for people not involved in politics to get involved. So it's not even necessarily young people, which of course is helpful, but just people that aren't retreads, as some might unaffectionately refer to them, just people outside the system coming in, because that, you know, politics is a market like anything else, and it demands competition. Democracy demands competitive elections. And to have that, we have to have engaged folks running for office. And so this podcast really, one of the main goals being to inspire people for office by breaking down the story of a politician, an elected official, generally an underdog that overcame great challenges and also personal adversities a lot of the times, just so people can see that they're a relatable human being. You know, during my time as a police officer, I tried to humanize police officers, and as now I'm trying to humanize politicians, and I think it's harder to humanize politicians, actually, than it is police officers, but that's the inspiration.
Do you feel like the country needs a more grassroots approach to politics, that it's become too top down?
Yeah. I think there's so much, if you look at the discord and the bitterness in the air, you know, on the campaign trail, you know, voters just want some, they don't want a staunch Republican generally. They don't want a staunch Democrat. They want somebody who, you know, is going to listen to people and is not necessarily going into something with such a fixed mindset. And, you know, I ran in a district that's, I was, as a moderate Republican, I was outregistered 3-1. And what I would hear from Democrats, from could be staunch Democrats as voters, they still want a viable Republican Party just as balance to their Democratic elected officials. And I think that is, you know, that is something we need, especially if you just focus on Delaware, you have to have two viable political parties. And, you know, Democrats will vote for a good Republican, as, you know, as history shows, one, if they like the person, and two, you know, they want the competition. They want their own elected officials that they support to at least have that check and balance.
One of those Republicans that Democrats did vote for was former Governor and Congressman Mike Castle. He was the first person you interviewed for this podcast, and he certainly is a very recognizable name. But otherwise, you've really focused on talking to more local level politicians. What was the idea behind that? Focusing more on not necessarily the big names that people recognize, but just politicians that are kind of, you know, that day to day person who's entered politics.
Sure, it's twofold. First and foremost, you know, at the local levels that I've been reaching out to, especially in other states, generally state senate or state house, one, they're more inclined to say yes. You know, it's kind of, unless I turn into Larry King, I'm going to have a hard time just reaching out to a congressman in Texas and saying, hey, can we chat for an hour? But two is that's generally where people are going to start if they're thinking about running for office. You generally don't wake up one morning and say, hey, I'm going to run for U.S. Senate. You might get involved with your local party, and it's going to be the most local office that, you know, because if people don't have a city council, state rep might be the first office they run for. So that's the other main reason.
You also tend to stay away, as I think you mentioned, from policy, and you're focusing more on the individual, their story. Do you see that also as an issue that we tend to define our politicians now more by platform and policy rather than the person themselves? And does that make it easier for people maybe to demonize rather than compromise?
Absolutely. You know, one of the countless themes or consistencies that I hear from the elected officials I'm talking about is, you know, we need to get to know each other as people first. You know, I think one of the best quotes came from Senator Dan Feltes, the youngest state senator for New Hampshire, who actually quoted Joe Biden when he spoke at UNH Law School. But you can't ascribe motives to what somebody is thinking. You know, you shouldn't. If you think somebody is proposing legislation that will hurt low-income people or low-wealth people, don't say it's because they hate poor people. You know, talk about you're doing something that will adversely impact low-income folks. And I think, you know, so I'm in Leadership Delaware this year, and hopefully I'm not giving away any trade secrets. But one of the things we did to start off was we spoke about a time that was transformational to us. And what it really did, I think, is just show the humanity in all of us. You know, it's hard to demonize somebody when they were just crying their eyes out to you about a very personal story. So I think if we get to know each other as people first and realize that ideally that if they're a good intentioned people, you focus on the disagreement and then have a drink after, you know, dust each other off and patch things up. And this way you can work together on another issue that you might agree on.
Were there some other common threads that you found in the interviews you've done so far?
Absolutely. I think everybody has struggles with time management. It's one thing when you're on the campaign trail or prior to that. You know, you're going to meetings, you can devote yourself to the whole meeting. And then once you're in office, you know, you might have three meetings that you're trying to be at. And, you know, the people in the meeting, they're like, look at this guy showing up 10 minutes late, giving a 10-minute speech and heading home. But really, you know, they're off to another event. Or something along those lines. And also the resistance people get from the party. If somebody has not paid enough tolls through the party, they're generally not going to get endorsed. But if you push back against that, the party will come around. So two examples off the top of my head. I spoke with David O., the first Asian American elected to Philadelphia City Council. And so he ran for city council and lost twice. And on his third time, this actually happened on his second time, but the party knew that he was going to run regardless of whether or not they endorsed him. So they endorsed him just to make it look like they had some say in the matter. Because if they didn't endorse him, it might look like they have no power. And so political parties, they like to, you know, it's more about the misconception, and you know, they want people to go through that toll to meet with the party leader and get their blessing to run. And then I think about Joelle Jones, the youngest state rep. He was elected when he was 22 in Michigan. He said something very insightful. So I asked him, he was basically selected by the party. And I said, that's very forward thinking of the party to select someone so young. I'm shocked they would do that. And he said, well, it was more like, you know, I did it and then I injected that philosophy into the party. So it's something like he kind of like brought it to them and they're like, oh, yeah, this is a good narrative. A young person, they might not have realized how much I think he will help the party in Michigan.
So your goal is to talk to at least one elected official in each state. You know, how far along are you in that process? You've gotten pretty far, it seems.
Yeah. So I've not every episode is up at my website, electedofficialsofamerica.com, just yet. But I've gone to 18 states. So that's by my poor math, it's just over 30% of the country. So hopefully we'll get to halfway soon. I had to slow down just a little. I'm helping a Philly nonprofit expand into Delaware, Coded by Kids. So that's taken up some time, which has been a great experience so far. But so what I'm focusing up more on now is when I said, like, I was in Washington, Oregon, and Idaho 2 weeks ago, and I knocked out three states in 4 days. Granted, it was 20 hours of driving, 10 hours in a plane, but you know, that's probably where I'm gravitating towards now that you know, my time management is being tested.
Well, you have talked to a number of local office holders, State Senator Colin Bonini, Newcastle County Executive Matt Meyer, Wilmington Mayor Mike Brzezicki, and I imagine most of them either knew you or knew of you. I'm curious what the reaction is that you get when you reach out to elected officials out in these other states and say, hey, as you said earlier, I want to sit down and talk with you for about an hour.
Sure. So it generally goes like this. I send one email, totally disregarded, ignored. And then I'll send a follow-up probably 3 or 4 days later. And I'll probably get a response that time. Or I'll call. And I would say, once I send out that second email or I call and I get a response, it's probably a 80% success rate. But if you look at, in terms of me reaching out to someone totally cold, totally blind, it's probably a 30% success rate, which is not bad. So every three emails, I get a bite. You know, every three emails basically leads to somebody that I can contact.
So slowly but surely, you will get there eventually.
Absolutely, yeah. It's one of those. Had I not run for office, I wouldn't have realized this is something that's feasible. But, you know, I think just the fact that I'm able to do this shows how accessible, our elected officials are across the country. I mean, I am nothing to nobody in California, but people are more than willing to donate an hour of their time to chat with me.
Speaking of running for office, you ran, as we mentioned, for state senate here in Delaware in 2016, lost against the incumbent in that district, Harris McDowell, though you outperformed previous Republican challengers in that district. How has this podcast influenced your thoughts on running again for something?
Well, I can't give you the farm, Tom, but I think I didn't do this to come up with, if you listen to the podcast, we're not going to campaign strategy or anything like that, but I think it really just, it impresses upon me even more the need to work together, as trite as that might sound, and to focus on issues that matter for the people you're representing and not to get lost up in what's going on in Washington or just get sucked into that vortex of negativity, no matter what side you're on. And I think that, the more our elected officials and voters just focus on our legislators as people, and they do that as well, I think we can move forward.
All right. James Spadola, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.